Here we go. It's another big week in the NFL for the Green Bay Packers. This is the Packers Wire Podcast, powered by USA Today Sports. Now your host, Ryan O'Leary, and Packers Wire editor Zach Krause.
All right, week one of the NFL season is upon us, and it opens up with a division awesome game, Packers-Vikings. Zach, what do you think about this matchup to start the season for the Pack?
Yeah, it's a big game for the Packers. It's been a very unique offseason with a bunch of storylines, the Jordan Love stuff coming in. So, Aaron Rodgers is going to be motivated to get the Packers back to the Super Bowl this year. His time might be running out in Green Bay, so it all starts Sunday in Minneapolis.
Absolutely. And what's interesting is the Packers' offense with Rodgers, not all that much different than last season, right? And I don't know, maybe that's a problem in Green Bay. Who knows? I know they had a great season last year, but they didn't spend resources in the draft on getting Rodgers targets. They spent capital in the draft getting his potential replacement in Jordan Love, right? So what do you think about that whole situation?
Yeah, obviously, I think Jordan Love is going to be good enough as a developmental quarterback prospect to eventually take over for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I think that much is clear now. The timeline on when that's all going to happen probably isn't as clear, but Love's going to have to earn it over the next couple of years, and I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to go out quietly. So I think a bunch of factors kind of came together to make that happen. I do think the Packers wanted a bunch of receivers, and they wanted a receiver in the first round, but a bunch of those guys went off the board right away, including Justin Jefferson, who they'll see Sunday. So, I think Jordan Love is the best player on their board, and they have a soon-to-be 37-year-old quarterback who has regressed a little bit statistically over the last 5 years. He's still a great player, but I think this is just a franchise that looks ahead to the quarterback position. They've always invested in it, even when Favre was entrenched as a quarterback. So I think this is just another step in that direction.
Sure, we wouldn't be talking about Rodgers today, right, if they didn't mess with Favre and bring in Rodgers.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's great.
Sure.
How do you think Rodgers has handled it, this whole situation?
Yeah, I think he's handled it like a pro. I mean, there's a lot to be made about how that relationship was going to work out, but I think he's handled it like a pro. He's going to help Jordan along this process. I think he has some other goals that are more in play than beefing with the first round quarterback that's now in his room. So
seriously,
I think he's been great. He was happy all camp. He was really, really good at training camp. So I think it's gotten off to a good start.
So I had Corey Bonini of thehuddle.com, and he's going to have a spot coming up here a little bit later in the program to talk some fantasy football. So we did a deep dive in the Packers fantasy football last week. We talked about Rodgers kind of falling down draft boards. People are kind of staying away from him, and it's probably because of he's got his number one target, but it's his secondary targets like Alan Lazard and Valdez Scantling, right? So what do you think of those two guys and the kind of step up they could make this year? Because obviously the Packers have some faith in those guys.
Yeah, they definitely do. They proved that in the draft. I think Alan Lazard, he kind of had a quieter camp this year, but I think they really know what they have in him. He's steady. Everyone really trusts him. Rodgers really trusts him. I mean, Lazard actually had a pretty good year last year once he got in there and started playing most of the snaps. So I could see him being kind of the possession guy behind Davante Adams, catching 50 or so passes and being a factor in the red zones, kind of intermediate area. And then MVS, there's a lot of hype around him this summer again.
You like him, Zach. I know you like him. Tell me why.
Yeah, I do. I think, he hurt his ankle last year after the first seven games, but he was pretty good in those first seven games. And I think the Packers think he's really improved in some important areas. Matt LaFleur specifically said he's better getting off press coverage this year, better getting open in, some of the intermediate areas. He knows how to use his speed to manipulate coverages a little bit better, more reliable hands. So I just think he's a more confident player. He's going into year three, and he really could be an important player for this team. He's their best vertical threat by far, really. And the Packers want more explosive plays out of the offense, and they think MVS can provide them. So, yeah, I think Lazard and MVS, those two guys are locked in as the number two and number three behind Adams.
So before we launch into the Packers-Vikings matchup, because we're going to get into this, you guys have done a ton of reporting, Zach, on the 53-man roster, the practice squad trackers, right? People have been all into this stuff because we don't have the preseason. We didn't have that third preseason game, which is the one I always paid attention to see where guys were on the field and who was going to make the team and all that. So any surprises for you on where the Packers ended up as far as their final 53 going into week one?
Honestly, there wasn't that many surprises, to be honest. And I'm sure preseason would have changed some things for some of the undrafted guys, but I think maybe the only surprise was cutting Jake Kumerow. He's been on the roster the last couple of years, and they obviously lack some proven depth at receiver, which we just talked about. and really LaFleur and Rodgers both really trusted him, but he's also 28. He only caught, I think, 12 passes last year, despite playing over 300 snaps on offense. And, you know, I think they thought he was a better run blocker in most scenarios than a receiver. So I think they knew what they had in Kumerow, and they like the upside of this young guy named Malik Taylor. I don't know if he's ever going to be a fantasy player that somebody has to pay attention to, but they think he's really athletic and they love his upside. So I think they just gambled a little bit at the back end of the receiver depth chart just to see if they could improve a little bit there, because they knew what they had in Kumerow.
That's Zach Cruz of the Packers Wire website. We're off and running on the Packers Wire podcast. We'll be right back.
Fantasy football is about proving that you are better than your friends.
Sit them, start them. These are the fantasy picks of the week.
It will kill me if this game ends in a tie.
I need this win. This game's pretty much done.
With Corey Bonini from TheHuddle.com.
Corey Bonini with TheHuddle.com here to talk to you about three fantasy options that I can't wait to play in week number one. Jacksonville Jaguars quarterback Gardner Minshew, he doesn't have a running game to speak of, and he's probably going to have to throw the ball a lot to keep Jacksonville even remotely close in this one. Volume alone should keep him in the number one range for quarterbacks, but it might not be pretty in terms of turnovers. Sticking with that same matchup on the other side of things, Marlon Mack, Jacksonville has lost just about everyone of note on defense in the last year or so. This was one of the best fantasy matchups for running backs last year, and one could make an argument that this team has regressed. Mack was good for 16 and 19 fantasy points, respectively, in PPR last year, and he's not even a receiving type back. Jonathan Taylor will take some touches, but Mack should be able to get his too. And the Seattle-Atlanta matchup has DK Metcalf poised to be one of the top receivers of the week. He scored twice last year against them, accounting for two of his seven touchdowns on the season. Seattle should be a little bit better on the back end, but rookie cornerback AJ Terrell will make his first pro appearance, and Metcalf can probably have his way with him. In week number one, don't get too cute. Trust the guys who you drafted highly. Don't try to take too many gambles, and take chances where it's smart. Continuity probably will be the biggest factor in success entering the season.
For more fantasy football tips and advice, check out TheHuddle.com, part of the USA Today Sports Network.
I think year two in LaFleur's offense is going to be a lot better. I mean, us guys around him, we've had 2 years in his system now. We're not just coming out there playing and trying to figure it out as we're playing. Now we've had time to kind of take a deep dive and understand why we're running this certain play or how it's supposed to be blocked or the power of the play. We're excited to get back out there.
Packers running back Aaron Jones talking about year two under this new system. And what do you think? You buying or selling that, Zach? Year two in this new system, you think the Packers are better off?
Yeah, I think I'm going to buy that because it's not necessarily because of Aaron Jones, it's the other Aaron. I think Aaron Rodgers looked really, really comfortable in the scheme during camp. He talked about how, you know, his footwork and his accuracy, and, you know, he isn't thinking as much and he's just kind of playing. And I do think there was some hesitancy in that first year with Rodgers, and he kind of leaned back on some of the old habits he developed under Mike McCarthy. So
I was going to say that, LaFleur's this young kid coming in, and you got Rodgers like, what? This young guy is going to tell me he's going to be my leader. Come on now. So yeah, I thought there was going to be some of that.
I do think they eased into it a little bit in year one. And, you know, Aaron was pretty good last year. He only threw two interceptions, but there wasn't a whole lot of big plays. His accuracy was kind of hit or miss. So, you know, I think some of that stuff could come back in a big way this year if he's really comfortable in the offense. And by all accounts, he said it numerous times that he's really comfortable in the offense. So, you know, I do think it could be a big factor for him.
So the matchup with the Vikings is interesting because on the defensive side of the football, Vikings have some, you know, a little bit new look. Obviously, they don't have Xavier Rhodes anchoring that secondary anymore, but their safeties are really good. Harrison Smith, Anthony Harris, they added Ngakoue from the Jags, that pass rusher. What do you think about that matchup, the Packers going up against this Vikings D, and maybe how have they done historically against that team?
Yeah, Mike Zimmer's actually done a pretty good job against Aaron Rodgers historically, especially since coming to Minnesota. I think there are a couple facts. They're going to have a good pass rush, and those linebackers with Eric Kendricks and Anthony Barr and the safeties, they're going to be really good. But I do see a question mark at corner because they pretty much rebuilt that entire position. And now week one, Devontae Adams is coming in. Aaron Rodgers is coming in. They're going to test those corners probably all game. you know, they're going to give them all they can handle. So I do think the Vikings defense is going to be really good. They have key pieces. You need to be able to rush the quarterback. You need to be able to cover with safeties and linebackers. But I think those cornerbacks could be an issue week one.
Yeah, we heard from Aaron Jones coming out of the break there. And Jones absolutely torched the Vikings last year, right? He put up ridiculous numbers. The Packers swept the Vikings. And we could talk about Dalvin Cook on the other side, the Vikings running back, who's a fantasy football stud, right? But, you know, the Packers also not that good against the run on defense, but it didn't matter last year because Jones just completely torched them.
Yeah, he rushed for over 100 yards in both games, kind of quietly actually, and had over 300 total yards actually.
Yeah, it's wild.
You know, he had the long touchdown that clinched the division game late in December. So yeah, he's going to be big. And you got to keep in mind that the Vikings lost Linval Joseph and Everson Griffin up front. You know, those are two pretty good run defenders for them. So
no doubt
the Packers return most of their offensive line. The right side's a little bit of an issue maybe going into week one, but you know, this run game is pretty much intact, and Packers are going to run right at this Vikings front and see if they can stop Aaron Jones.
We'll see. They didn't prove they could last year. We'll see if they can do it this year. And the Vikings offense, I think, what do you think the key is there? Make Kirk Cousins beat you, right? I mean, they lost Stephon Diggs. They got a rookie, Justin Jefferson, who's probably going to be in there, as you alluded to earlier. But we don't know how that's going to look yet. They didn't really have a preseason or haven't been full speed yet. So, you know, I think when you got new receivers getting acclimated, that could be a problem, you know, whereas on the Packers side, Rodgers has been throwing passes to Davante Adams forever, right? So what do you think about that? Because the Packers, a decent defense. They're maybe an underrated defense. And if you make Kirk Cousins try to beat you and you can try to take away Dalvin Cook, maybe you got a shot there.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to stop the run. I'm sure the Vikings watched that NFC title game. You know, the 49ers threw it 8 times and just kind of ran it down their throat. So wouldn't be surprised if they tried that. But if they can stop Dalvin Cook, make Kirk Cousins, you know, play from the pocket, and they have a really good pass rush that really tortured him last year. You know, losing Diggs, I think, is a big deal because he caught a touchdown pass in 7 straight games against the Packers before they shipped him off.
That's
Buffalo.
That's a great stat. I love that.
Yeah, they're not going to be sad that he's in Buffalo. So I think the Packers secondary is really good, and they can probably shift some coverage to Adam Thielen now. So I think losing Stephon Diggs is going to have a huge impact on this game.
They got to feel that. I mean, obviously, Adam Thielen's a stud too, but they're going to feel not having Diggs.
I think they can probably shade coverage, do some double coverage stuff on Adam Thielen, and make Justin Jefferson beat Kevin King or Jair Alexander on the other side, and the Packers probably feel pretty good about that.
No doubt. So, Zach, while you're kind of prepping your work for the Packers Wire website this week and breaking down this game, is there anything that we haven't touched on that you're looking at that pops out at you about this game?
I think maybe the no fans at US Bank Stadium is going to be a pretty big deal.
Seriously.
I don't know if you've ever been in that building, but it gets so loud. Mm. It is loud the entire game. They have an open air press box, so it is just loud the entire game. Your ears hurt after the game, and I can only imagine what it feels like to be a player.
So the reporters can't even think while they're watching.
No, it is a stressful environment for reporters at the game. So, you know, they're going to be pumping in some sound at, I think, 70 decibels, I think they said it at, but that's going to be nowhere near as loud as it usually is in that building. So I think that's going to maybe rob the Vikings of a huge home field advantage.
It's interesting. And the Packers did handle their business, as we talked about, against the Vikings last year, swept both meetings, but they're underdogs going into week one against the Vikings. We'll get into the betting line coming up here on the Packers Wire podcast.
It's that time again for the line of the week. The inside track to the favorites, the underdogs, and the over-unders.
I think I want my money back.
Now, here are Jeff Clark and Esten McLaren from USA Today's Sportsbook Wire.
Hello, I'm Esten McLaren of SportsbookWire.com and BetSlippin' Podcast, and I'm joined by Jeff Clark, my colleague at SportsbookWire.com and BetSlippin' Podcast, and here's what you need to know about the Week 1 matchup between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and New Orleans Saints. Tampa Bay is +145 on the money line, with New Orleans Saints favored at -176. Jeff, which side of that do you like?
I'm on the Saints. I'm on the favorites -3.5. I'm big about their offensive continuity. Their offensive line is going to be the hold up against what should be a pretty good Tampa Bay Buccaneers pass rush. I'm not sold in the Buccaneers secondary right now, and how can you not be sold in the passing attack of the Saints?
Hey, Tom Brady, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Rob Gronkowski, let's go. All-star underdog team +145, locking that in week one, a big upset in the NFC South. Check out Sportsbook Wire for more with all odds from BetMGM Sportsbook. Subscribe to BetSlippin' Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, Zach. So the line right now for the Packers on the road at the Vikings to start the season, the Packers are getting 2.5 points. So the Vikings are favored by 2.5. What do you think about that number?
Yeah, I don't think the Vikings can't or won't win this game, but I'm not quite sure why they'd be 2.5 point favorites. You know, the Packers beat them twice last year. They beat them by 13 at home. So, you know, we talked about the home field advantage that the Vikings aren't going to have. They lost Stephon Diggs. You know, the secondary is completely rebuilt at corner. The Vikings offensive line is pretty much the same. The Packers kind of beat up on them last year. So, you know, I'm not going to be surprised if the Vikings cover that line and win the game. But it's hard for me to see how the Packers would be maybe a slight road favorite going into this game. Sure. I don't know. What's your take?
Yeah, my take, I'm going to take the points, I think. I'm taking the points. Mm-hmm. I think the Vikings just have a few more question marks. They have a few more changes on their team. The Packers, you know, they're pretty much where they were at last year with, you know, some subtle changes here and there. The Vikings have more, you know, revamped, more big names off their roster, more change. So, as you said, no fans in the stands. That's a huge advantage. So the Packers, I'm definitely taking the points there. And then the over-under also sticks out to me. They got the over-under at 46. And I think
46.
Yeah, 46 points. And I think, especially in these first couple of weeks, we could see some sloppy play out there, right? This could look like a preseason game at times, especially in the first half, as guys are getting used to the full speed thing. 46, I mean, the Packers and Vikings were in the 30s in both of their games last year. They've historically have played, I guess, recently, lower scoring games. That 46 numbers, that looks like a balloon. I'm thinking definitely under. Hammer the under. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the under too. That even when the Packers played well on offense last year, they only scored, I think, 23 points at Minnesota. So, I don't know how both teams get that to 46 week one. And, you know, you made a great point about the Packers. They have some continuity coming into it, but the Vikings really don't. I think they could struggle to score some points against the Packers defense.
You heard it here. Take the points and the under, and then don't yell at us if we're wrong, though. That's right, we reserve the right. We're not experts here, but we'd like to pretend we are. But Zach, I feel like Packer Nation needs this. Tough ending the other night for the Bucks. Giannis might be entering free agency now. That was painful, I think, last night for the Bucks. So they need, football's arriving at the perfect time for Wisconsin.
Football is here, and if I don't know if you live in the upper Midwest, but it feels like football season outside. It's about 45 degrees outside right now, so it feels like football. You know, the Bucks are done. We can concentrate on football season now.
No, man, people are going to hate me when I say this, but hopefully they stick with us. We're going to be breaking down games, giving fantasy advice, giving sports betting advice. So hopefully people stick with us. But I live out in New Hampshire. I'm a New England boy. So nobody likes New England. I'll tell you that much. So as soon as people hear that, they're, you know, throwing shade my way. So, all right. I'm Ryan O'Leary. He's Zach Cruz. Zach, enjoy the games this weekend, my man.
Thanks, Ryan. Talk to you next week.
Thanks for joining us on the Packers Wire podcast.
This USA Today Sports podcast has been presented by USA Today's Sports Media Group and is available in your favorite podcast store. Make sure to subscribe for weekly updates, the latest fantasy picks from Corey Bonini, and the Huddle Podcast, Inside the Weekly Line with Sportsbook Wire's Jeff Clark and Esten McLaren, and the Bet Slippin' Podcast. We'll see you again next week.